The Bible contains the powerful words that come from the mind of a divine, sovereign God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Peter, writing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The phrase, "the Word of God," is found 49 times in the pages of the King James Version. My friends, when you and I open that book, we find sometimes that God specifically addresses a group of individuals that He desires to come to an understanding of something about Him or His cause. That is true in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived other than Jesus Christ, writes these words, "Remember now, therefore, thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draweth nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The title of our lesson comes from the opening words of that particular verse, "Remember now thy Creator." But notice the group that he specifically addresses. "Remember thy Creator when? In the days of thy youth." Solomon is talking to young people and how important it is for them to remember Him. We have 5 points in this lesson, and every one of them come from this one verse. It begins with this, the act of the mind. Remember, the mind is an amazing instrument, is it not? Our minds have the ability to think. Our minds have the ability to reason. Our minds have the ability to will. Our minds can discern. And our minds can even express emotion. And here, Solomon tells us that we have the ability to remember. My friends, being able to remember is an essential element of life, is it not? Wouldn't it be awful to get married today, wake up tomorrow, and not be able to remember who you married? That might cause some conflict in the world, might it not? Memory can also be a curse. We turn to Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 25. There is a rich man who has died, and he had not been in a right relationship with God. Abraham addresses his situation and he says this, "Son, remember." And he tells him to remember how he lived in life, but now he was suffering and now he was in anguish. The sting of memory when it comes to hell. Yes, memory can also be a wonderful blessing, can it not? It's good to know the answers on a test that you remember. I'm glad that I am able to remember my address so I can get home this afternoon. I'm glad that there are some individuals who have studied CPR, and when it comes to somebody passing out on the floor, they remember exactly how to do that in order to bring that individual back to life. And I put that statement in quotation marks. In the spiritual realm, it is absolutely essential for every one of us to remember. That little word remember involves bringing to one's mind in order to contemplate. The opposite of remembering is forgetting. And the Bible talks about that as well. In Jeremiah 2, verse 32, the Lord asked this question through His prophet Jeremiah. "Can a maid forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." A maid, a bridesmaid. We just had a wedding here not long ago. When you're a bridesmaid, guess what? You remember your dress. You remember your shoes. You remember your flowers. You remember your headpiece. You remember your necklace. Whatever it is that you're supposed to have, you make certain that day you have it. Have you ever seen a bride walk down the aisle without her wedding dress? I've never seen that. Girl walked down the aisle in her blue jeans and t-shirt, and she turns around and tells everybody, "Well, I just forgot my dress today." I've never heard that in my life. And yet the Lord says, you can remember those kind of things, and yet my people have forgotten me days without number. And my friends, God is much more important than anything needed on the day of a person's wedding. We turn to the New Testament, and Peter makes mention of the fact that we can even forget that we have been purged from our old sins. If you and I do not focus upon our Christianity, if we don't focus upon adding those Christian graces to our lives, Peter says this, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Isn't that something to think that a Christian can leave the faith and forget that he was forgiven of his sins by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? My friends, memory in the spiritual world is of absolute importance. It's the very reason that God gave us this book, is it not? Every day I can open this book and I can call to mind exactly what it is that God desires for my life. It's the reason that God has given us preachers. Preachers stand in the pulpit, and why do they do that? In order to remind us of all the things that God has commanded for us to do. I find it interesting that the book of Ecclesiastes opens with these words, the words of the preacher. And on this particular occasion, Solomon the preacher is fulfilling one of his obligations, is he not? For you see, he is calling upon a certain group of individuals to do what? To remember something of vital importance. Point number two, the adverb of time, now. That little three-letter word now carries a lot of different definitions. I want to look just briefly at three of them. One is this, at this present moment. Now, you and I are what? Worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, are we not? Another definition, without further delay, immediately, go to the store now. Not this afternoon, not tomorrow, right now, immediately. I found another interesting definition. It was this. Sometimes the word is just used to strengthen a command. Mama looks at her little boy who came home from school and she says, "Do your homework now." Uh-oh. She just strengthened her command, did she not? It's a lot better than just saying, "Do your homework." Do your homework now. That's a strong term, isn't it? I want to take those first two definitions and make application of them to this lesson. At this present moment, folks, the present moment is all that you and I are certain that we have. Isn't that true? Oh yes, we think we're going to have this afternoon, and we think we're going to live to tomorrow, and the probability of that happening is probably pretty good, but there is absolutely no guarantee of that, is there? And we see evidence of that in Luke 12, verses 16 through 21. We see a farmer. He's had an abundance of crops brought in this year. In fact, he's got so many things that he doesn't have anywhere to store them. So he's going to tear down his barns, build bigger barns, He says, there will I bestow my goods, and I will eat, and I will drink, and I will be merry. I will have a wonderful retirement of 10, 15, 30, 40 years. He just knew that he had plenty of time to enjoy the bounty of his harvest. And yet, in verse 20, God speaks, and he says this, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Think about that. Here is a man thinking, I've got all these years to live, and yet God says that's not the case. You've got today and today only. Tonight your soul will be required of you. My friends, you and I only have the present time as a certainty. Proverbs 27, verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Solomon wants to remind his readers that you need to be doing something today. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not when you get older, not when you think you're going to have a lot of time. Remember now, he says, at this very present hour. Notice that second definition. Without further delay, immediately. Some things need to be remembered right on the spot, do they not? You have a test, you better remember those things right on the spot, hadn't you? If I'm choking, I sure do hope that Kathleen remembers the Heimlich maneuver. Don't you? I don't want to croak right there while she's looking at me. Can you? Well, I just forgot how to do it, Vic. I'm sorry. Wouldn't that be horrible? A few years ago, we went to Wyoming, and I told Kathleen, I said, we got to go. I got to ski one time in my life. I never skied in my life. Got to ski. Well, I learned real quickly that if you don't know how to ski, that doesn't mean your skis won't go down the hill. There I was one time, I just going down that hill as fast as I could. I thought, how in the world do you stop? I just dropped to the ground and prayed that I'd stop. We finally had an instructor, and he says, hey, Vic, if you're going downhill, if you really want to stop, he said, just turn your skis a little bit until you're going back uphill, and you'll come to us. Isn't that wonderful knowledge? It was good to know that. I even applied that about 20 more times during the weekend. Solomon tells us that what he wants us to remember, he wants us to remember when? Immediately. Right now, without further delay. And there's a reason for that. And it's because you and I can come up with all kinds of excuses as to why we don't need to do something right now, can't we? We got our reasons, we got our justifications, we got our excuses, we've got all kinds of things as to why I can't do something right now. Psalm says, oh no, I need you to remember, at this present moment, immediately, without any delay whatsoever. What is it that he wants us to remember? My friends, it's very simple. I need you to remember the agent of creation, and that is the Creator. Remember now thy Creator. Who is this Creator? My friends, the Creator is the one who has brought all things that exists in the entirety of the universe into existence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1, verse 1. What's interesting about this Creator is this. He did not need any supplies in order to create. All he had to do is speak forth the words, and everything came into existence. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Psalm 33, verse 9. The things that you and I can see and even the things that you and I cannot see were all created by Him. The Bible says, for by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Remember the Creator. My friends, if there is a Creator, and I should have put in there another phrase, and there is, then guess what? He is a God of power and a God of wisdom, is He not? You can see His power displayed in the universe. You can see His wisdom in the creation of just the human body itself. He is a God of power and wisdom. If there is a Creator, then He is sovereign over all things. What we mean by that is this: He holds authority over the entirety of the creation, including Victor Eskew. God is my ruler, my commander, just because I'm part of His creation. If there is a Creator, His having created us means this: we have a purpose for our existence. Because we are not just blobs of mass walking around to please our flesh. We're much more than that. God has a purpose for our lives. And if we are created by Him, He has a plan that He desires for our lives. Remember now thy Creator. Because God exists, and He has much for you to do in this world. Yes, Solomon says, remember now thy Creator. Yet how many of us stop to remember our Creator this morning? How many of us have contemplated our Creator over the last week? How many of us have thought about our Creator in the last couple of months of this new year? Some individuals don't remember the Creator the entirety of their lives. Remember thy Creator. My friends, that is of vital importance to every human being. But I find it interesting that Solomon addresses those words to a very specific group, doesn't he? The age of importance. Remember thy Creator when? In the days of thy youth. We talk about human beings, we divide them into, or their lives into, seasons, stages. We start off as little babies, do we not? And then all of a sudden we look up and we see that little bitty baby is no longer a baby, it's a toddler, isn't it? And then that little toddler grows a little bit more, and now it's a young child. They enter into those preteen years, and then the teen years, and then they're a young adult. And before you know it, you're middle age, and then all of a sudden you wake up one morning, you look in the mirror, and you go, goodness gracious, I'm old. Folks, we pass through every one of those stages rapidly, do we not? Rapidly. And the Bible talks about the brevity of life. James talks about it in James 4, verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor which appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Go home today, put on a pot of boiling water, and watch the vapor come off of that. Take that pot off of the eye of the stove, and watch how quickly that vapor dissipates. My friends, that, James says, is human life. It's described in numerous other ways as well. Job said that our life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle, James 7, verse 6. The Bible says that our days are like a shadow, Job 8, verse 9. Our lives are like a wind that passes and does not come again, according to Psalm 78, verse 39. Peter says that our lives are like grass. It appears for a little time, and then the heat of the sun wilts it away. 1 Peter 1, verse 24. I don't have much time on earth. None of us do. I find it interesting that Solomon exhorts us to do what? Remember the Creator when? In the days of your youth. Not when you get to be an old man. Remember him when you're young, and there's many reasons for it, folks. The earlier I remember my Creator, the more years I have to serve Him faithfully. When I'm young, I have strength and I have vitality, do I not? And I can get a lot done in a very short period of time. When you're young, you have an unbelievable mental capacity, don't you? I think I've said this before. There was a man on one occasion who learned that over in Sweden and other lands, they teach 5 languages to all young people in school. He couldn't believe it. He finally looks at one of the teachers and he says, "How many languages can a child learn?" The teacher says, "As many as you'll teach them." Children have a capacity to learn. God wants us to take what we have as youth and use it for His honor and His glory and His majesty. We have numerous examples in Scripture, do we not, of young people who serve God. A young man by the name of Joseph served his God. 3 Hebrew youth, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, faithfully served their God. David, even as a little shepherd lad, faithfully served God, did he not? When we get to heaven, I want to ask Mary, "Mary, how old were you when the angel of God appeared unto you and told you that you were going to have the Son of the Highest?" Oh, she was just a maiden in Israel, was she not? And we may be shocked to know that she was around 16, 17, 18 years of age when those words were spoken to her. Paul used young men often, men like Timothy and Titus, and gave them unbelievable responsibilities all by themselves to be carried out as young evangelists. The Bible highlights doing God's service when? When you are young, folks. And there's a reason for that. Point number 5, because of the affliction of aging. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the, listen to him, evil days come not, nor the years draweth nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Solomon describes old age as the evil days. We studied the book of Ecclesiastes not long ago, didn't we? It's interesting how Solomon talks about old age, and guess what he doesn't say? He doesn't say, these are the golden years. He doesn't say, these are going to be the best days of your life. He doesn't say that. He says he calls them the days of darkness and evil days. Now that little word evil on this particular occasion has nothing to do with immorality. And it has nothing to do with violence or anything like that. Evil days. What does he mean by that? He's talking about hard days, difficult days. Days of torment, days of anguish, days of sorrow, days of labor and struggle and toil. Folks, as you get older, guess what? Life gets harder, doesn't it? I remember when I was in my 20s, I forget what year it was, I was around 24, 25, and all of a sudden I thought, you know, I've really struggled this year for some reason. Nothing bad, just a little bit more difficult than at other times. 37, I'll never forget that year when I was 37. I thought, man, I'll be glad when this year's over. It was just a hard year. And then all of a sudden you hit 40, they're pretty good, but guess what? There's still struggles. And then all of a sudden you wake up, you look in the mirror, and you're 50, and you say, uh-oh, I'm on the downhill slide. Bad. Work out at the gym and you don't get any muscles. That's no fun. Paying $100 a month, whatever you're paying at the gym, nothing. What good is that? Digestive problems? Who'd think you have to be popping digestion pills all your life? Stamina? Strength? Even your comprehension? It's awful. I'm 65. I'm not decrepit. Okay, not decrepit. But guess what? I am nowhere near where I was 15 or 20 years ago, guys. Nowhere near it. And I can tell that. I talked to some folks, and I got several of them here to talk to, that are over 70. And they say, Vic, it don't get any gooder. In fact, it gets worser. Bones, joints, heart, kidneys, eyes, and the mind just keeps on deteriorating. I've had to go from 28 font to 60 font, so y'all can see this over here. Nah, I'm kidding about that. It's not quite that big. But people were saying, I just can't see that board anymore. Folks, all of those things that happen in old age hinder a person's ability to serve his God as effectively as he wants to serve his God. You may have the want to, but you don't have the ability to anymore. Now, one of two things is true. Either you can start early serving God, get to old age, and look back upon your life and say, wow, I am so glad that I dedicated my life to my Creator. Or you can reach old age and you can regret that you didn't start that service sooner. Because when you get old, you just can't do nearly as much. You can understand the importance. You can have the want to, the desire to do it, and guess what? Just can't be done anymore. Sad, isn't it? The admonition that Solomon gives us is simple, isn't it? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember. Remember when? Now. Remember who? Remember your Creator. At what stage of life? When you are young, folks. Because anybody who lives long enough gets old, don't they? I remember telling my daughter on one occasion, I think I was 55. I said, you know what? In 15 years, I'll be 70. Now I can look at her and say, in 15 years, I'll be 80. She just looked at me and said, shut up, Dad. We get old, don't we? That little word now is used almost 400 times in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? 400 times. Remember, it talks about right now, the present. It talks about doing something immediately without any delay. And very quickly, I want to talk about just a few verses that use that little word now. The Bible tells us that there is a feast that our God has prepared, and guess what? It is ready right now. According to Luke 14:17. How do you know about that feast? I know about that feast because the Bible announces it to me. Paul, when he was talking to the elders of Ephesus, said this, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." You see, there's an importance in hearing this book right now. There's an invitation to a great feast that's available right now that God has prepared. Now, when you start desiring that feast, wanting to be in attendance of that feast, partaking of that feast, guess what? There are a few conditions that God has set forth for an individual to have the bounty thereof. One of those is simple, trusting, obedient faith. According to Hebrews 10, verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith." That's not the only requirement, however. Paul stood atop Mars Hill, speaking to those individuals in the city of Athens, and he says this, "At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Acts 17, verse 30. Saul of Tarsus saw the resurrected Christ on the road to Damascus, possessed faith, entered into the city of Damascus as a blind man, did not eat, did not drink, and was in prayer for 3 days, was he not? Manifesting a state of repentance. Ananias comes into where Paul was, sees him in that condition, and here's what he says, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22. Verse 16, Peter says that baptism doth also now save us. My friends, I don't set the terms and conditions of partaking of God's holy feast. God does. But when we meet those conditions, guess what? We get to reap the benefits, do we not? One of those benefits is this, being now justified by faith, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Romans 5, verse 9. Right now I can be justified and saved from wrath. Notice this. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I'm no longer separated from God. I am now drawn into the very presence of God Himself. Now therefore, ye who were sometime strangers and foreigners are no longer that, but now you are what? Fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God." Ephesians 2, verse 19. "Which in time past were not a people, but now are a people. Which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." 1 Peter 2, verse 10. Right now, you and I can have the benefits of that feast. It's not surprising, therefore, when we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Paul makes an admonition to his listeners about right now. And he says this, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." My friends, you're not promised tomorrow. But right now, I can remember my Creator and I can serve Him. If I will meet the conditions, I'll reap the benefits. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?